This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
Well, we are halfway home on a Thursday. Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. Make sure you stick around here on 97.3 The Fan all day. We've got the Round Table, brought to you by Round Table Pizza. It's pizza royalty, and that's going to come up in 2 hours from right now. And we'll be joined by a very special guest on the Round Table. He's our executive producer. Paul Reindel is going to be joining us for his very first roundtable day. How do you feel?
I feel great.
Do you feel good?
Yeah.
Okay.
I only wait for the big roundtables, like playoff type.
Smart. It's a smart conversation. Smart move. Yeah. I just.
And we have nobody here.
I keep freaking Adam out, and Ben Higgins is here too.
Hi.
I didn't want to treat you like an afterthought because you're the host of the roundtable.
Very afterthought.
I didn't mean to. I was just wanted to tell the story that I keep spinning Adam out because, well, listen, today's the last Thursday of the regular season, is it not?
It is.
I committed to doing roundtables for Adam and 97.3 The Fan for the regular season. So that would mean that this is my last roundtable. So I keep telling him every time I see him, hey, last one. Let's get it big. Let's finish strong. And well, what about during the playoffs? I go, listen, the playoffs are a different animal. You know, our intensity's turned up a little bit. We'll probably be out and about, oot and a boot, San Diego, shaking hands, kissing babies, doing all things we love to do. So I'm just telling you, this is my last roundtable. Enjoy it. Drink it in. Come in there and you can watch if you want. Watch the magic happen.
Do you have the huevos to protest and just not show up next week if there is a roundtable?
Happens all the time on the roundtable.
Everybody else is there. And you said, nope, I'm sticking to my guns.
I told you.
I only said regular season.
I said regular season. You know what, Paulie, as a team player, I'll do it.
He'll be there. Because you look at my sad face going, really? You're going to leave? You're going to leave Ben out just to ask questions of no one? Just empty chairs for an hour?
You only play sad when you need something, okay? That's one thing I've learned about you.
I'm not that sad of a person.
You're really not.
I have to muster it when I need something.
When he does it to me, I'm like, all right, I can't leave Ben in the lurch. I'm a big fan of not leaving guys in the lurch. If you're in the lurch, whatever the lurch is, I want to get you out of it, is kind of my thing.
He'll send you a ladder to climb out of the lurch.
I'll be honest.
Toss me a rope.
I have too many people in my life that are in the lurch. I'm constantly pulling people out of lurches.
I'm really not one of them.
And I don't know what a lurch is. I don't even know what it is, but I'm constantly pulling people out of it. So anyway, I was talking to Paulie about this the other day, and I know that you haven't watched it yet. There is a new series on Netflix that popped up last weekend, and it's a series that they're doing called Monsters. Yeah. Now they did it with Jeffrey Dahmer, and I didn't watch that one because that story.
I did watch that one. It was.
Ugh. Yeah. That story really freaked me out.
They're all the same guy,
Ryan Murphy.
Who's,
I don't know who this guy is or where he came from, but he did OJ. He did all this stuff. He's got the Aaron Hernandez one that's on Hulu right now. That's so brilliant.
It's like the listen, eavesdrop on his therapy sessions.
He's really obsessed with it. He does a really good job at setting up these stories that we all remember. Now, this one's about Menendez? Or is it Melendez?
Menendez.
The Menendez brothers.
Not the Mendez brothers.
The Menendez brothers.
Giant story. When we were kids, like the tabloid, they went crazy with the story of the two brothers who killed their parents.
Yeah. Very rich. Upper crust family.
Beverly Hills. Was a record. Mm-hmm.
Pretty good looking guys, you know.
Yeah, very sharp guys. Yeah. And I started watching it, and it's really well done. I mean, it is really, really, really well done. Edge of your seat type stuff. But then I remembered, I'm like, well, this was around the time. I said, Ben, Ben has a lot of connections in LA. I wondered, did you know the Menendez brothers?
No, I told you. I did know Scott Peterson.
You golfed with Scott Peterson.
It's your buddy.
Now, these guys are big tennis guys. Did you play tennis with them?
I took tennis lessons for a while. I don't think I ever crossed paths with Lyle and or Eric.
Well, our photos say different. If you are in the member stream right now, I am looking at a legitimate.
The Menendez.
The Menendez brothers.
I could fit in at least visually with that.
All right. Want to hear something scary? I watched this and I go, they remind me of Ben. their upper crust lifestyle and how, you know, they just reminded me of you. I don't think you would do that. You love your parents. Your parents are great.
They are.
Could see Bo and Taylor doing this one day, potentially. That's definitely another thing I thought about. Better be very nice to them. But, yeah, I mean, there's actual... Do you have any pictures of you and murderer Scott Peterson playing golf together?
I do not.
It took you 5 years to tell us that story.
Yeah.
That I very casually knew him growing up. Yes, I did. He's a little older than me. The Menendez brothers, I think, are about 10 years older than me
well.
So I'd be I'd be the very young Menendez brother.
Where was this picture taken? What country club, tennis club, beach and tennis club was this taken at? Paulie, that's such a...
Looks like it's the jail yard, actually.
We got to put it on. We got to put it on Twitter. Paulie, it is unbelievable. That is incredible. Incredible.
Now, in our chat, they say they're at our local state penitentiary.
They could be tier ones, as far as we know.
Can you listen to... Do you get the Odyssey app? How does that work? You just get a transistor radio, you could listen.
Yeah, you could listen. Maybe they're Padres fans. Probably
is that
Dodger
contraband,
fans.
Or is that allowed?
Well, I was just at Alcatraz, and they installed radios for the guys in, like, the 60s. They had, like, three channels they could... turn and listen to, and keeps, you know, listen, at the end of the day, you want to keep them as calm as possible. You don't want to just take everything from them and treat them like actual animals. But yeah, they are local here to San Diego.
Can you imagine being in Alcatraz in the 60s and you can listen to the Giants game on the radio?
I know.
Like, right, you know, it's right across the bay. It's at Candlestick Park, but a world apart.
Well, they said the worst night in Alcatraz every year was New Year's Eve, because they would be sitting in Alcatraz and San Francisco would pop off for New Year's Eve, and it would be eerily quiet because everyone wanted to hear what was going on across the water, and they'd hear women laughing and conversation, you know, people yelling and having a great time.
Sound travels over water,
and they said it just would drive them crazy.
It's freezing,
but they would all sit there and listen all night to the sounds of New Year's Eve going off around you while you're sitting in a tiny little cell. But yeah, so I was curious if you knew those guys at all, or
have you visited them?
Golfed or
visited them? I have not visited. Have you ever visited anyone in a prison before?
No,
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 no visiting hours,
no.
Visiting day,
no. No, no.
No conjugal visits?
No, I've never done a conjugal visit with someone. Would you? I don't know that I could perform. If they were like, you got 10 minutes, and it's in that cot in that little trailer, get after it. I don't know that I could perform. I'll be completely honest.
So Hannah gets sent.
Hannah gets sent away.
And you only get to visit her, you know, once every 6 months, but they give you a conjugal visit. And you got your 10, 15 minutes in the trailer. You don't think you could?
I haven't had a conjugal visit at home in a while, so I think that you show up, you're so excited. She's like, I really don't feel like it. I'm in jail. I'm in this jumpsuit. I'm dirty. You know, I don't feel right. You're like, are you kidding me? I just came all the way here. They had to like crawl inside my body to make sure I could come in here. I would like to hear from somebody that's ever done a conjugal visit. 833-288-0973. You'd make my entire day.
It would be fascinating.
Do they still
do it? I just
think
the word conjugal is
kind of funny. Great. It's great. Yeah. I would like to get a conjugal visit just at my house would be good at some point. We don't even have to go anywhere. You know, just one at home would be good. As she is on a plane for Hawaii today. So be conjugal visiting with myself.
Prison guard standing right outside the door.
Yeah. I'll be conjugal visiting with myself, as I usually do. So. So you don't know them?
I do not know the Menendez brothers.
It's a wild show.
Three episodes in, I think there's 9 or 10 episodes, and they didn't waste any time. I mean...
No, it's right out the front.
Within 5 minutes, like, they're at the murder scene already. You're like, oh, okay.
No. They're not just at the murder scene. You're watching the graphic murder of their parents.
Yes.
And it is just...
How'd they do it?
Shotguns. Bought at Big Five in San Diego, by the way.
Oh,
so,
wow.
Well done, guys, there on that one.
Big Five.
Yeah.
Simply the best.
Simply the worst, I guess. But, yeah, it's really, really well done. So check it out on Netflix if you want. And, of course, the Hulu one is really good about Aaron Hernandez.
James
as well.
Made me laugh. Supermax Hotel Hannah.
Supermax Hotel Hannah. Supermax Hotel Hannah. Oh man, hope Airbnb Hannah doesn't show up this week while she's gone. So also another fave of mine. So,
yeah, Bill says, wasn't Scott Peterson arrested here in San Diego? Yes, at Torrey Pines Golf Course.
Well, really?
He said he was on his way to Torrey Pines Golf Course, but the passport, the fake wig.
The fake blonde wig
or something.
Yeah, the
blonde wig, the cash, and everything made it, I think, seemed more like he was running to Mexico to get away from the authorities.
How did you guys play that day when you were
a few times? He was good.
How did you play that day when he was arrested out at Torrey?
Did it throw off your round to watch your buddy get dragged off?
No, he said,
"Where you heading?"
Well, the cash. You know, I had my passport to show that I was a city resident to get the discount rate and the cash to pay for the golf.
That's right.
I don't know about the wig, but that's...
JH619 says they get iPads now in prison. Maybe they do. Maybe the Menendez brothers do listen. I
don't watch it on YouTube.
I don't really know how I feel.
They're
about
like
it.
Your kids, but they only get, 30 minutes a day.
Yeah, 30 minutes of screen time a day.
On their iPad.
I don't know how I would feel if... Like, hey, it's Lyle Menendez. I'm a huge fan. I love Take on Woods. I play every day from my jail cell. I really don't know how I would feel. They're gold members, yeah. They're in the member stream every month. Just so weird. It's a really good series. Ryan Murphy's really good at that stuff. It's like soap operas for adults like me.
I don't know his IMDb history, but I know he also did Glee, which does not fit.
It does not fit
with any of the stuff that he's come out with over the last 5 years.
It's dark, dude. It's dark stuff. But check it out. It's really, really good.
Yeah, my passions are, deranged killers and choir.
Choir and yeah, it's really good. You guys will like it. Paul, you started it. Check it out for yourself. There's a little recommendation. There's Ben and the Menendez brothers hanging out back in the 90s.
All right, I don't know. If we get a call about a conjugal visit, that may take precedent.
Somebody got a call?
No, we don't. I said if we do, that may take precedent. Otherwise, we'll get back to the Padres. We got Eno Saris coming up as well with some smart baseball talk. So stay tuned for whatever may be coming up next with Ben and Woods after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. Now, there's something about you, Woods, and I should know better than anyone, that... just like encourages people to probably share more than they normally would. I certainly have over the last few years. It's probably because you're very open and sharing and about the good and the bad in your
vacation. Yeah.
So when you when we had the story about the Menendezes and then we started talking about conjugal visits, you asked it. Anyone out there has ever actually done a conjugal visit at prison?
I'm so curious about it because you see it in the movies. You think it's just something in the movies, but apparently it is a real thing, and we have a phone call, and we will not say your name. Tier 1 Jane Doe, we will call you. Thank you so much for calling in, and you called Paulie and said, well, I'm laughing because I have had a conjugal visit. Were you the prisoner or the visitor?
The visitor.
Okay. And I need to know... I need to know everything. I mean, I need to know morning, day,
tastefully, at least.
Tastefully, okay. But I need to know every detail that you can provide.
Okay, so this was in a previous life. Let me just tell you that. It was like 2001, so I'm not sure if they still go the same way now. But it was a whole weekend, and they have apartments on prison grounds that you stay at for the whole weekend.
Okay.
It's like a full apartment with kitchen, everything. So you order food before the visit, like a week or two before the visit.
Okay.
They have it all delivered. You show up on the day of the visit, and then you spend the entire weekend there.
So you got to, it's more than just,
it's
like
not just a 15-minute.
15-minute, yeah. Get in, get out. Yeah. Like,
it's a full weekend.
How tired were
and
you after?
I don't even want to get it.
You're like, I'm begging. I've got to go.
What was
if
I may ask, Jane Doe, what was your relationship previously like with this person? You said it was another life. Were you long-term relationship? Were you married? What was the relationship?
Yeah. You have to be married.
Okay.
Oh.
So we were married, and I had, my son was like 4 months old, so I had to bring all his stuff too, so it's with the baby too.
Okay, so he gets to see his kid, and what? Do you mind me asking? How it can't be that serious of a crime, I would imagine, if they're allowing this low security type situation.
No, you're locked in like prisoner too.
Well, for him
that weekend, you can't go outside.
I mean, you have to earn it, like with good behavior, or like, yeah, just kind of like, does everyone get this, or did they get this?
Back then, yes. I don't think it's that way now. I think they did change it now to like any violent offenders, but back then it was anyone that was married and put in for it.
Wow. Put in for the, okay, ballpark it for me. You're there, what, Friday to Sunday?
Yes.
How many, what are we talking here? Ballpark.
Friday to Sunday. Well, the worst part was, it was that time of the month.
Oh, no!
No!
This guy's like,
no way.
Probably too much info, to be honest with you. Probably too much info.
It was miserable.
That's miserable.
Jane Doe.
By the way, they kept it. They kept you freezing in there, too.
Just frozen solid. Oh, my Lord. Thank you so much for calling and bearing that on the radio. You're amazing, Jane Doe.
That's brave. That's brave.
Very brave. Holy cow. Holy cow.
We had another call as well from one of our female listeners, and she kind of said the same thing. She said, it wasn't me. I was dropping off my sister for
to go do
her conjugal. And she's like, yeah, you like, there's like a part of the prison facilities that like all these trailers, and that's your little home for the weekend.
Huh. The weekend. And then, you know, the guy, if it's me, it's probably like, you don't have to stay all the way till Sunday. You can just stay. If you just want to split early, it's good.
You're getting some home-cooked meals, she said. You know, they have the groceries.
Order your food. Yeah, your four-month-old's there, though, too, which is not, it's not ideal. It didn't sound terrible, though. I'll tell you that. You pre-order food. You're not in your cell anymore, and you're in an apartment, and you start to feel like you're a normal human again. I guess it's probably good motivation to, like, get your ass together, man. Like, you got this family here, and you got this woman here that's willing to do that for you, and you come on, you know, clean up your life, man, and there's a better life for you. I'm a huge, huge believer in and fan of rehabilitation. I think people deserve many chances, and, you know, everyone's human. Everyone makes mistakes. I don't know what this guy did, but, yeah, they get their own TV, a kitchen in there. Yeah, that's pretty good. That's pretty good, and you get to spend some quality time.
My curiosity of topics is pretty insatiable. So
mine too.
That was fascinating.
I was absolutely riveted by that. I thought that was so brave of her to call too. Yep. So thank you for that. I really appreciate it. If you ever see us, you can just come up and whisper, "Hey, I was the conjugal visit gal. I'd like to give you a big hug." And that's it, though. Just a big hug. And
it's funny. I mean,
it was rad.
6.5 years of the show, there's only been a handful of times where we've had something super, like, just off the rails.
Off the rails.
Random. And we're like, if anybody out there, please give us a call.
Yeah.
And it actually works out.
Nude Cruise guy was amazing.
Well,
we didn't know that was a real thing. And the guy said, no, my band played on a nude cruise. man, it's so good. So good. Thank you for that call, Jane Doe. That was really, really sweet.
Actually, I had a funny story yesterday. Shelly said she got in a Lyft, and the driver, Luis, who listens every single day, he said, oh, I love that show. I called in a few months ago. Remember Luis, who called in about Matt LaChapa, who had the Padres minor leaguer had the heart attack?
He said, that
was me. I called in the show. You're Ben's wife, Shelly. And he was like, yeah, absolutely. I'm in the car. And he listens every day. So shout out, Luis.
Thank you, Luis.
For Tier 1 for being a listener every single day. Appreciate it.
Got a lot of Tier 1s that drive around all day, man. All day long. I don't know how you guys do it. My hat's off to you. You know, stay out of trouble so you don't end up in prison needing conjugal visits. But just the fact, you know what? I will say this. As somebody that was justice system adjacent for many, many years, does gives me a little bit of peace to know that that is possible. If something happened, you know, to know that that's possible.
There's no chance Hannah's coming to visit.
You are right. It would have
None
to be another woman.
All.
It would not be Hannah. There's no... If I go to prison, she's like, you stay
Zero
in
chance.
Prison. There's no chance.
But she drops the kids off
the kids
for the weekend
by.
And then she leaves. Like, here, you got the kids
for the weekend. I get the house, the food. I'll be there. She drops them off and leaves. And it's me and the kids
Dad's weekend.
In your trailer.
Bring me back to my cell. I'm ready. It's over. Taylor and Bo just coloring on the walls. Oh, my God.
You can't go anywhere.
You just gave
me a
heart attack.
With your kids. You can't go to the park. You can't do anything. You're
in the trap. All right, here's the deal. If you ever go to prison, I'm bringing you my kids. Last night we were at dinner, and
I mean, you've got them by yourself this weekend. But at least you can take them.
Oh, take them, do anything I want.
Yeah, do anything you want.
We have the freedom to roam.
Can you imagine if you had like a 10-foot by 15-foot and that's
apartment?
It's you and the kids. And you,
Dad, I'm hungry. You're just like, oh God, I miss jail. I miss jail so much. I miss my cellies. I miss playing dominoes. This sucks. These guys are wearing me out. We were having dinner last night, and I said to Hannah, I go, oh, did you guys see the Open this morning? Because they put it on the big screen. She goes, well, we put it on, and Taylor walked right in and turned it to Spider-Man. I go, Taylor, you didn't watch Daddy's show? He goes, no. I go, why? He goes, because it's not good. And I go, what are you talking about? He goes, does Ben and Woods like me? And I said, oh, Ben? I go, no, he doesn't like you. He stopped down, and he goes, I shot a little video. I have it, actually. He's like, Ben, you have to like me, dude. It's really, really sweet. It was really sweet. So, but no, he's not a tier one at all. But oh, I love
him. He was, and then
Ben said, Ben, I don't like you.
Turned him away.
I am willing to water under the bridge. Let bygones be bygones.
Squash your beef with 3-year-old Taylor.
Why don't you spend some time together this weekend?
If
how about
he
that?
Will, you know, if he will shake my hand, I will shake his.
Hold on.
What did you ask me?
Hey, Ben, you have to like you, dude.
Because you're the best.
I'm the best.
Because you're the best.
Oh. Well, yeah. That's nice.
Isn't that sweet?
That is sweet. Right. I don't have to do anything, though.
Do you hate him a little bit less now?
Will you watch him Friday after we get out of here? Just for a while? Just go hang, take him to the park?
You trust me?
No, never mind.
On Friday afternoon?
Friday afternoon, asleep at the wheel, just exhausted.
Where's Taylor? And I fell asleep.
Bro, that would be an elite content bit of making Ben take Taylor to Legoland and having us follow around. Yes. Would be incredible. Where Taylor doesn't know we're there. Oh, that's good stuff. Courtly, we don't have the budget for it, but that was so much fun. I love that. That's a best of break right there, Paulie. Holy cow.
All right, we're going to shift gears when we come back. Final regular season appearance for Eno Saris from The Athletic. We'll get some smart baseball. Get his thoughts on the Padres coming up with the playoffs, this Mets-Braves situation as well. All coming up next on San Diego's number one station, 97.3 The Fam. Before we get to Eno Saris, and before I forget, the umpire scorecard for last night's game came out. Now, these are not completely scientific, and I do not believe that there is necessarily a conspiracy going on, but over the last two Don't games you. Now, the Dodgers have received nearly two runs in extra favor from the umpires, including last night, in which home plate umpire Andy Fletcher, the crew chief, had just an 80% called strike accuracy. And the three most impactful calls of the game went against the Padres, including the biggest one when Tommy Edman had a 1-2 count. Strike is called a ball. So instead of striking out, he ended up walking. And that was the game-winning rally there for the Dodgers when Shohei Ohtani brought in the go-ahead run. So,
well, if there's a team that needs... If there's a team that needs extra, it's the Dodgers. I mean, they're underdogs, man. So when you're a scrappy underdog like them, you need all the help that you can get.
They've only got three MVPs
at the top of their
third of their order.
It's, I mean, three MVPs. What are they supposed to do?
You know that umpires, subconsciously at least, favor star players.
Oh, yeah.
And Manny and Tatis sometimes get the benefit of those close calls as
well. I feel
like
it goes the other way against
them. I was wondering, when you're an ump, though, and you get a star pitcher and a star player, like,
who wins?
Like, who wins that battle in terms of the benefit of the doubt on the close ones on the corner? So that's your latest update. Eno standing by. We'll get to some smart baseball right after this check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan.
It's time for the super polished, yet to be named Smart Baseball Weekly segment with Eno Harris. Saris, son of a bitch. Brought to you by 7 Mile Casino, just 7 minutes from the ballpark by the bay in Chula Vista. Here's Eno Saris with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
Been another terrific season with Eno, and we will talk with him through the playoffs, but as the regular season wraps up, certainly owe him a big thank you, and 7 Mile, a big thank you for making this possible every single week. Now, Paulie just told me where Eno is headed to today, so my first question, Eno, is what do you plan on stealing from the Oakland Coliseum today before you leave?
I am going to bring a little baggie and see if I can get a little dirt. But
are you? Are you a dirt guy?
Not normally. I don't have any other dirt.
This is my collection of
dirt. You're not going to be one of the guys who unscrews one of the chairs and starts running off with
them. That was insane.
Like they did yesterday, right?
That was in six security guards chasing a guy down running with a seat.
Well, I could put my bag of dirt right next to my MC Hammer bobblehead, I guess.
Oh, is it they're giving that away?
No, they have in the past.
They did, because he was a bat
got
boy.
I got a couple bobbleheads. I've got a Mark McGwire one, so a piece of dirt in between is fine for me. I am a slight bit worried that there is upheaval at the end of this game because, you know, there's a lot of anger and, you know, ill will towards the owner. There'll be a little bit of... you know, sometimes that mass feel where everyone just sort of rushes the field. Some of them will want to be rushing the field to get some dirt or grass, and some of them will be wanting to express their anger. So, you know, I guess the team is giving away, they're doing a reverse giveaway where when you arrive, the first 25,000 to arrive get a voucher for a giveaway, and you only get the giveaway at the end of the seventh inning or eighth inning on your way out.
What is the giveaway, I wonder?
I forget what it is, but it has something. It's like a pin or something for like the last game of the Coliseum.
The commemorative pin.
They started doing that voucher thing with like bat days when they used to give out wooden bats, but they didn't really want people, you know, swinging bats at each other in the stands the entire game. So it's kind of an on-your-way-out sort of gift.
Their website has two promotions listed today. Replica Coliseum Stadium giveaway to the first 25,000 fans, and then a final game commemorative ticket.
Okay. So that's not, I mean, it's a sad day, you know, certainly, and I know that that's a place that you frequent. And there's about 40 topics I would like to talk about today. Jackson Job is one of them, watched his debut last night for the Tigers, who look unbelievably fun, and they've tapped into something right now, and are probably going to make the playoffs, which is just insane to think about. Want to talk about, you know, what's going on with the Padres, Dodgers, Shohei Ohtani, everything. But start there with Oakland and kind of what it meant to you over the years and how weird it's going to be.
Yeah, it's a tough day for me because, you know, I do have the benefit of going to two stadiums. And so I've been going to Giants games and A's games since I became a writer. But there's something different about going to A's games because the kinds of players that came through, a lot of them, it was kind of their last chance, you know, to make it. And a lot of them had to squeeze every little bit of talent that they had out of themselves. And so a lot of them were player analysts. So you've got like Sam Fold, who's a GM. Jed Lowry was like that. Brent Rooker, even Brandon Moss, you know. You know, even guys like Marcus Semien, a lot of times they had to be their own coaches, their own analysts. There's a camaraderie between, you know, so former A's as they kind of go through the different, teams because they always get traded quickly, you know? So just knowing the A's meant I knew somebody in every clubhouse and knowing them meant I knew somebody that spoke my language in every clubhouse. So
yeah, good point.
The A's really gave me a level of comfort in every clubhouse, you know, starting from the first day that I ever sat in a press box. So, you know, it's a real sad day for me. And, you know, I also, as a parent, like this is a little bit more cynical or stupid, but like when you have two teams in town, one of them is the cheaper team. So, you know, there was a fair amount of times that I took my kids to A's games. Because it was cheaper, and I wasn't sure how many innings I'd get out of them.
it's just smart parenting right there. I mean, I took my kids.
I'm not going to know the difference. Baseball to them at this age.
We just took our kids to Oracle, and it was not cheap. And they made it about five innings, man. But it was really fun and beautiful. I do feel bad. I've always had this affinity for the A's. And since I was a kid and fell in love with baseball, you know, I always loved the uniforms. I loved the stories that I'd heard about the old A's teams. And of course, all the players that have come through, the great, 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 great players that have pitched in that organization and played for that organization that went on to help some of the other teams that I loved, you know, down the road, man. And it's just, it's very weird, and I hate it, and I don't think it's a good look for baseball, but that's a story for another day. Let's talk some San Diego Padres, L.A. Dodgers. Been a pretty interesting couple of nights between these two teams right now. What's kind of your analysis when you watch?
More than ever, I feel that they're evenly matched, you know. These are tight games. Every time, you know, the Dodgers, you know, threaten to pull ahead, the Padres come right back. So this seems like a team that no longer sort of puts the hands on the hips and goes, oh, not this again. You know what I mean? It's like,
yeah.
You know, just something as simple as Tatis coming back and hitting that homer. It's like, okay, yeah, you guys went ahead. Now we tie it, you know. And they never feel really out of it in those games. And every time that, you know, in the past, there might have been a little, you know, I think I talk about this with the Mets. The Mets had this LOL Mets thing, you know.
Yeah.
And they had to sort of excise it. They almost had to, like, you know, they had to really manage their vibes this year in New York because they had to kind of, like, get rid of the ghosts in the clubhouse. So in that way, the Padres have kind of like, they're no longer the ones where you go, oh, here it goes again. You know, it's more like, no, next inning, who do we got up next inning? You know what I mean?
Yeah, you know, when I grew up on the East Coast for about 6 years and was right in the middle of, in the heart of Yankees Red Sox, you know, and was raised a Yankee fan from my dad. And it was such a joke, you know, in the 80s and 90s, like, oh, the Red Sox? No big deal. All of a sudden, they start rising up, they punch the Yankees in the mouth, and then it was just sheer and utter dominance from the Red Sox, the quote-unquote little brother, for so many years. Little brother grows up and can also learn how to swing it a little bit, and that's kind of the vibe that I've been getting, and you're right, man, you definitely don't see the intimidation that you used to see and feel.
I think Dodgers fans, anyone who says the Giants are still their biggest rival,
they're just lying.
They don't want to admit to themselves who their biggest rival is.
You are lying to yourself. You're lying to yourself. It's not even close.
Yeah, I mean, there's a long-standing Giants-Dodgers rivalry, but, you know, I think every rivalry kind of goes in and out.
Oh, sure. You know? Yeah. Yankees-Red Sox is nowhere near what it used to be.
It's only as good as both teams are in the moment, I feel like.
Yeah.
You know, like if it's Cubs-Cardinals and the Cardinals are awful, like, yeah, maybe there's some, you know, some yelling at the game or, you know, maybe they'll call it rivalry week, but, like, you know, it only really matters when both teams are good.
It was like that in football, too. Like, sometimes it was Chiefs-Raiders, sometimes it was Broncos-Raiders, sometimes it was Chargers-Raiders. But it moves around whoever's kind of good.
But it was always the Raiders.
Yeah, Raiders usually were involved. Eno, let me ask you, as the Padres get ready, likely for a wild card series, three-game series, and they've got, you know, four really good starting pitchers, and no offense to Martin Perez, who's been great as well. You want good stuff, like stuff plus in the playoffs, swing and miss stuff. How would Eno set up the Padres' starting rotation based on what you've seen recently from the Padres' starting pitching, which has been great?
Yeah, it's an embarrassment of riches. I have a piece coming out tomorrow where I tried to look at some context neutral stuff plus informed projections, and I think I had the Padres as the best or second best rotation in the playoffs. So they've got a strength there, and you know, I don't know. I'm stalling because I don't know.
That's fine. We don't know either. I mean, you know, Michael King may be the best starter, but he also may be the best suited to come out of the bullpen. Of the four starters, do you leave you Darvish out of a three-game series? That doesn't make any sense. But you can't leave Joe out. You certainly can't leave Cease out. So where does that leave you? I don't know. I don't envy Mike Schilt and AJ Preller on this one, kind of.
Cease is my game one starter, you know, and I think that informs something, because if he comes out and wins it, then I can do a much more traditional sort of, we're just going to do the rotation after that, you know. If he loses it, then a lot of this discussion goes out the window, because then it's Joe Musgrove for two, and he puts a batter on, you know, there is no tomorrow. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it could be just everybody in the second game. So, you know, I do think that King is probably slots in fourth, just maybe for the seniority's sake, But in terms of quality, I think I might have it Cease King Musgrove Darvish. But they're all, I think, like top 25, top 30 type pitchers for me. So the difference is fine. And it is a little bit more about who's willing to come out of the pen and what happens, I think, in game one. But easily for me, Dylan Cease starts game one.
Talking to Eno Saris from The Athletic here on Ben and Woods this morning, and I'm sure you've discussed MLB's top pitching prospect, Jackson Jobe. I watched him last night make his major league debut, and it was pretty special. And you realize what exactly had a camera on him the whole time, and you realize quite a long run in from the bullpen out there. And, you know, you watch him, you watch his parents in the stands, and prospect, what, drafted 3 years ago, comes in the middle of a pennant race and throws a flawless inning for the Detroit Tigers. He looks pretty nasty to me.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, he throws a 92-mile-an-hour cutter that looks like a slider, throws an 86-mile-an-hour sweeper, throws a 98-mile-an-hour fastball with a great ride. I mean, he's the real deal, and I expect him to have an impact. I thought he would be to be a starter, but I think at this point they don't really have that many innings for him.
Yeah.
So I think his big, you know, what he might be for them is a little bit of a Francisco Rodriguez type where, you know, nobody's seen him. And it's really excellent stuff. So, you know, I feel like he could come in and be the X factor. They look like they're making the playoffs.
100%.
I mean, it's a crazy run for them, and it's not set in stone yet. But the Twins have really fallen off to the point where the Twins and Mariners are on the outside right now, and they have to win some games to knock the Tigers or Royals out of the playoffs. So, you know, somebody like Jobe is just a great person to call up in the last week because nobody's seen him. Even if they have scouting reports, it's not the same as standing in the box against him. And if they end up in a postseason series against the Royals, who they've seen a ton of times at the Guardians, they haven't seen Jobe. You know, so at least they have one pitcher that they can go to, and he's just a really fun pitcher.
Talking to Eno Saris from The Athletic. Last thing for me, Eno, what's your overall take on the Mets-Braves situation? Did Major League Baseball mess this up? I know, you know, they're not responsible for the hurricane, but should they have handled this a different way? And what impact do you think it's going to have now on a potential wild card series? One of those two teams could be coming to San Diego to face the Padres.
Yeah, they are now set up for one of the nastiest 56 hours I've ever seen. If they need to play those games, and the commissioner's office may end up deciding it, because if they're both in the playoffs and it's just about seeding, they may not decide not to, depending on tiebreakers and all that. But if they have to play those games, they will play a doubleheader after the season's over, and then potentially the next day go into a wild card series. So that's like four games in 56 hours, and you know, with everything on the line, not just like four games in August where you like call up your 27th man and somebody random starts for you. No, these are games where your best starters are starting, and all your position players are starting, and everyone is exhausted. And everyone's standing by the coffee maker at all times. So that's what we're set it up for. I don't know who to necessarily blame. I mean, when weather is one of those tough. I grew up in Jamaica a little bit, and you know, hurricanes. There's always like that. Is the hurricane coming our direction? Will it change path? So like, the path isn't always known until like a day or two before. So they were watching it, and maybe they made the wrong decision. It would have been better, I think, if they'd played on Monday when there was an off day and at least gotten one game in case the path went towards them. And then the path did go towards them, and now they're in trouble. So, you know, it's an unfortunate situation. I think, you know, it's one of those things where the schedule, the way weather works, the commissioner's office, it all sort of conspired to make this happen. I think it's maybe mostly the commissioner's office fault, but, you know, it's hard to point fingers when it comes to the weather like this.
We're out of time, you know, but at some point I'm going to need to hear more about your Jamaican riding experience. It's, you know, just down the road when we've got some time to kill.
I've got a book planned. I don't know if people are ready for it.
How much jerk chicken did you eat while you were there?
It's not the jerk chicken I'm interested in, Ben, from Jamaica, all right? Okay? You can get that anywhere.
There's all sorts of goodies there.
Oh, man. All right. Well, we'll get to it at some point. Thank you so much for your incredible contributions to our show this year. Just can't thank you enough, man.
Yeah, and I'm on for some appearances during the playoffs, too.
Boom.
And I'm really interested to see how this goes.
Love it.
And,
thanks, buddy.
And I've really enjoyed this by the way, too.
I appreciate that. Eno Saris, and again, thanks to 7 Mile Casino for making it possible all season long with Eno Saris.
He is a part of the fabric of Ben and Woods.
People love Eno's laugh.
It's great.
I mean, they
it's
love Eno's laugh.
Eno is one of my favorite guests we've ever had. So I never want to lose him.
So I've made him a weekly.
That's right.
You know, it's like important to us.
How about a daily? Hey, can you make him a daily?
All right, Paulie's got some headlines in the Roundel Report. We haven't talked much other than baseball, so we'll see what else is on the plate today.
Baseball, actually.
Okay, more baseball coming up next on 97.3 The Fan.